We begin the current daven, starts with Baba Kama, Dav Chav Ches. We begin on the fifth line down by the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which was introduced because actually one of the proofs the Gemara is going to try to bring is going to be from the Halacha from our Mishnah, which the Machlokes was between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Nachman regarding what's called if a person could be Aved Inish Dina L'Nafshei. Can a person take the law into his own hands if he knows what he's doing is correct halachically? I mean, the Gemara explained that when there's going to be a pseida, a loss, seems like both opinions would agree that you could take the law in your own hands, because by the time you get to the judge, you would have already lost out, and therefore we let you do it on your own. But if you're not going to lose out, then there's a machlekes, do we say that, look, if you could take care of it with a judge, then do that better than taking it in your own hands? Or do we say that, no, we're not going to be matriachi, we're not going to make you go through the effort if anyway you're doing the right thing? So that's why Gemara continues trying to bring a raya, proof to one of these two opinions. What is the correct halacha? Could a person, could he be Ovid, dinan l'nafshei, could he take the law in his own hands? So Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring a raya from the following braisa, like Rav Nachman, who said that a person could be Ovid, dinan l'nafshei, he could take the law in his own hands. Because the braisa says, Shur sha'ola al gabi chaver laharga. There was two oxen playing around, and one of them is trying to go on the other one to kill the one on the bottom. So the guy, the owner of the ox that was on the bottom, sees that the upper ox is going to kill it. So he pulls out his ox from beneath that upper one. The nuffel el yunumes, and because of that, now that he pulled him out, the upper one fell down and died. Says the braisa potter, so he's exempt. Now the reason why he's exempt is because obviously he's saving his animal. Because his animal is going to die, it's not my fault. I need to save my animal. Now, but one thing the Gemara points out is my la b'mu'ud. Isn't it talking about that the upper one is a shur hamu'ud because it doesn't differentiate? And it would seem like that even if he would have left it and let the upper one kill his shur, there wouldn't have been a loss because the owner of the shur hamazik, since it's a shur hamu'ud that already gored three times, would have to pay him the entire amount of the damages. And yet still we see that a person could go ahead and take the law into his own hands. So you see that, like Rav Nachman, not like Rabbi Yehuda, who says you can only take the law in your own hands when there's going to be a loss. Here, seemingly, even when there's not going to be a loss because you'll get all your money back, still, we're not matriach you to go through the whole court process. You could take the law in your own hands, pull out your shur, and let the upper one die. Another Gemara says, law, it's not a right to Rav Nachman. But Tam, the Ikka Beseda, it's talking about where the upper one is a shur Tam, where there would be a loss, because if I wouldn't pull out my ox and let the upper one kill it, because if I'm going to pull out my ox, then the upper one's going to die. I'm going to take the law in my own hands. If I would go to court, by the time I come back, my animal would have already been killed by that upper ox. And I'm only going to get chatzi nezek, half the amount of damages. I'm going to lose 50% of the value of my shur. So since there's a mokum seida there, again, everybody agrees, not just Rav Nachman, but it seemed like Rav Yehuda, who would agree that's when you could be of a din l'nafshei. But if it would be a shur hamu'ud, maybe not. Now the Gemara asks, I hachi eim ha-seifa. If you're explaining it in the case when the upper shur is a shur tam, not shur hamu'ud, then look at the end of the braisa. Braisa says, let's say you didn't pull out your ox from beneath the upper one. Let's say, d'chafi le'elyoin umeis. Let's say you pushed off the upper ox. What are you doing with my ox? You're trying to kill me, you push it off, it dies. Says the braisa, then chayiv. Then you're chayiv because you should have pulled out your ox. That you're allowed to do. But to push him off and kill him, that now you're liable for killing that ox, and now you're liable. Now, ask the Gemara of the Ibetam, but if you're saying that the upper ox is shur tam, amai chayiv, why are you liable in that case? What do you mean? It's going to be a loss. As Tosa explains, if we'd be talking about a shur hamu'ud, then we could understand why, if the guy pushed off the upper ox, he should be liable, because the guy's not so tumultuous, because he should have just pulled out his ox from beneath that upper one, which is a less dangerous and less direct harmful for the upper ox. Now, and the reason why he shouldn't have been so mevuhal is because he knows he's going to get back his money anyway. He gets an ezek shalom. But if you're telling me, as the Gemara is trying to answer for Rabbi Huda, that the upper ox is shur tam, then he shouldn't have been entertaining thoughts about, how should I go ahead and do this? Should I take out my ox or should I push up the upper one? He's scared he's going to be a huge loss over here. And even if he knows he's going to go to court, he realizes he's only going to get chatzi nezek. And therefore, the Gemara is asking, why should you say that he's going to be chayiv? What do you mean? Just like you exempt him by pulling out his ox, you should also exempt him if it's a shur tam because of the great loss, even pushing off that animal because it's in the state of Bahala, and therefore that would go be incorporated in the heter of Iver Inish Dil Nafshei B'Mokim Seida. So the Gemara says, no, Shahayi L'Shamte B'Lo Shamte. It's not a difficulty. It's not just by mu'ud, but even by tam. yes, you're a little caught up because you realize if you don't step in over here, even if you go through the court proceedings, you're only going to get chatzin nezik. Still, the braisa holds that you are liable even by a sure tam because you should have slipped out your animal and you didn't. You rather pushed off the upper one. And because of that, you're going to be chayiv for the damages to the upper one, because although you could go ahead and take the law in your own hands to save your money, but not to harm someone else's money. And you could have done it without harming his money by pulling out your animal, which yes, possibly it might die in that situation, but it's not as direct, and that's why you're going to be chayiv, even if we say it's a shartam, and therefore it's not difficult to Rav Yehuda. So Gemara continues trying to bring a raya like Rav Nachman. Toshima, coming here from the following braisa. The braisa says, "Hamamali chatzah chaveri kadei yain v'kadei shemen." Somebody goes into somebody else's yard and he fills it up with jugs of wine and jugs of oil. Says the braisa, "Bala chatzah meshabav v'yetsa meshabav v'nichnas." So the owner of the yard, who some other guy is just putting up all his stuff over there, could break it and leave and break it and come in. In other words, get out of my way. What are you doing? Fill up my yard with your jugs. He could crack them as he leaves and crack them as he comes in. So you see, similar to Rav Nachman, where a person could take the law in his own hands, even though it's not going to be a loss, where in other words, he can go to court and have the courts take care of it, yet he's allowed to go ahead and take the law in his own hands. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, no, Meshabe v'yetz l'bezdin. When it's saying he could just crack and go and crack and go, it means to say that if he wants to get out of his yard to go to court, and that's why he can do that, because that's actually not taking the law in your own hands. Actually, like Rabbi Yehuda, you just need to get out to go to court. That, to get out, you could break it and get out. And Meshabe v'nichtas, when it says that you break it to get back into your yard, is lehevi's chiyosav. It's to go ahead and get your documents, because as Rashi explains, the case would be tolma, like where the guy who's putting all his jugs on your land is when he claims that it's his. So this guy has to go back home to bring all his documents of the sale that he purchases, the deed. So how am I supposed to get in? This guy's blocking my way with his jugs. Then you could break it, but that wouldn't be incorporated in taking the law in your own hands. It's just a medium to be able to get the court, to let the court do it. And therefore, it's not difficult. Like Rabbi Yehuda, essentially, you're not really taking the law in your own hands. You just let him break it to get in and to get out. So Mr. Toshma, come in. Let's try to bring a raya from a different braisa. The braisa says, "Minayin l'nirtza shekado lo yama." From where do we know, regarding a nirtza, which that's the Eved Ivri, who is supposed to serve only 6 years. After 6 years, he goes, "I love my master, I love my wife," which is the Shifra Knaz, "I want to stay on." So they bore a hole in his ear, and he stays up until Yaivu. Now the Braisa is talking about a case, and where do we know from a Nirtza, this one that stays up until Yaivu, when his days are over? Meaning, it already reached Yaivu. V'rabbi misarv b'ilotze, so now his master is pressing him to leave, you know, get out, you know, you're already maxed out. It's already Yaivu, you're not my Eved anymore, get out of my house. Now, v'chavol v'asa b'chabur. This guy was resistant. He's been there, who knows how many years, close up to 49 years. So the master hit him and made a wound in him. This is the master in the slave. So it says the braisa, from where do we know, shuhu potter, that the master would be exempt. Seemingly he should be chayiv, because he's not a slave anymore. It's already yavel, he's already free. And then he hits him, he wounds him, and usually when you hit somebody, you chayiv. How do we know that he'll be exempt? Tamalayma, that's the Pasuk Mamidbar teaches, which is the way the Midrashic interpretation of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Loisikhu Kaifer, that a person, we shouldn't take atonement money, meaning if somebody kills somebody or harms somebody else, Lonus El Ir Meklotai, to go ahead and run away to the city of refuge, Loshuv, to go back, Loshavis Ba'aretz, to go back and dwell in the land, Admaisai Kayin, until the Kayin dies, which is the halacha when somebody kills. So halacha is we can't take blood money, we can't take money of atonement, that you got to go to the city of refuge until the Kohen Gadol dies, you're stuck over there, you can't pay your way out of that. Now, but the Midrashic interpretation is that we're reading it, Leisikhu Kaifer Lashuv, which is Leisikhu Kaifer, you don't take atonement money, you don't have to pay money, which is Leisikhu, you don't have to pay money towards Lashav. Meaning, what does Lashav mean? Two interpretations in Rashi. Either it means to say, from somebody that wants to come back and go back to his bad ways of being a slave, which you're already yevil, you should already be done. Or it means Lashav, meaning for somebody that his halacha should be Shav El Mishpachtoi, which is the Eved when Nirtza, when he reaches yevil, and he doesn't want to. So says the Braisa, that's the Midrashic interpretation of the Pasuk, that the owner who gave a blemish in the slave that wants to stay on, the Pasuk is saying, Leisikhu Kaifer, doesn't have to pay for what he had harmed. Lashuv for this Eved, who again either wants to come back or should be Shav El Mishpachtoi, and he's not. But either way, one thing we see from this braisa is, again, like Rav Nachman, that the master is taking the law into his own hands. And there's no law, so he can go to court and get them evict him. But he's not. He's taking his own lands because he knows that's the right halacha, and you see he's going to be exempt. So you see, Avad Inish Dil Navshay, even B'makam Dileka Pseida. So the Gemara says, no, Hacha Ma'iskinna, the case that the braisa is talking about is Ba'av de Ganva. He's talking about a slave that's a thief, where if he lets him stay on, it is a loss. And that's why it would be even like Rav Yehuda. Now the Gemara asks, Ada idna laganav, what do you mean? Up until now, he didn't steal. This guy let him stay for 30, 40 years as a slave. Vahash taganav, and suddenly it's yevil. Oh, you got to get him out. It's going to be a loss. He's a thief. He'll steal all our stuff. What do you mean? He's been by you for 30, 40 years. So the Gemara says, yes. Ad ha'idna hava aim sidirabi allah. Up until now, he had the fear of his master upon him. He was the master and he was the slave. Whip him, he'll do whatever it takes for him to do the right things. He's not going to steal. Hashta lesle aim sidirabi allah. Now that he's a free man, although it just happened a minute ago, it doesn't fear him anymore. I can do whatever I want. And therefore, if he stays on the house, it could be a very potential loss because he'll just steal stuff. He's not afraid of him anymore. And that's why he is allowed to take the law in his own hands, even according to Rav Yehuda, because it's b'makom seder where everyone agrees, aver inish dil nafshei. Another approach to resolve the braisa according to Rav Yehuda, Rav Nachum Yitzchak Amar, he says, we're talking about be'evet shemasalei rabbi shivcha kananis. We're talking about what the halacha is, when you have an evet kanani, you have an evet ivri, which then becomes a nirtz and stays on, the master is talking about that gave him a shivcha kananis, a maidservant to have children from. Now, so therefore, it's regarding that halacha, because adho, meaning, and this guy wants to stay on. So far, and stay on, but the problem is you don't have the halacha as Eved Ivri anymore, because it's already yevil. So therefore, adho idna hetera, up until now, the Eved Ivri was allowed to have relations with this non-Jewish woman, the non-Jewish slave woman. Because the pasuk says in Shema Yitzchavalev, im adonim yitin lo isha, if the master gives him a slave, he's allowed to. But Vahashta, but now that I already reached Yevil and is a free man, Isura, it's prohibited. I have no problem, I love you, you're in my family for 40 years. But you can't stay on with the relationship you have with the Shidchi Kananis, you're not an Everett Ivri anymore. And it's regarding that halacha that the master is allowed to hit him and to separate him, because that's not Avet Inus Dil Nafshei. He's not taking law in his own hands for himself. He's stopping another Jew from doing a sin of having relations with a non-Jewish woman. It's regarding that that we say he's allowed to do, and that, from that type of a wound, is what is going to be exempt. But therefore, has nothing to do to ask and contradict Rabbi Yehuda. It's not taking the law in his own hands for his own halacha of l'nafshei. So the Gemara says, Toshima, let's bring a raya, and that's why we introduced this whole discussion, from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Hameniach esakad b'shus ram, the title of this parak, someone places his jug in the public domain. Uboacha v'nitkelba b'shavra. Now, some guy's walking along the street. He trips on this guy's jug and he breaks the jug. Says the Mishnah, Potter. So the guy who tripped on it is going to be exempt from paying the damage of the jug. Now, and as we explained already, why he's exempt, why he's not negligent for having broken this guy's thing in the street. But one thing the Gemara says is, Taima did nitkelba. The reason why he's exempt is because he tripped on it. Hashav v'chai. But let's say he sees this guy's jug in the street and he steps in it and he breaks it. Then he's going to be liable. Now, as Rashi points out, Rav explained the previous stuff. So the case we're talking about is when this guy didn't just put one jug in the street, he filled up the whole public domain with his barrels, blocking the whole way. Now, the way Rashi interprets this, not like Tosis, is that you see that a person cannot take the law in his own hands to help himself, even when it's going to be a loss. The whole street is blocked off, the blockade, there's congestion, there's traffic, no one can get anywhere, everyone's late for work, and you see that they're only exempt if they tripped in it and they broke. Okay, that's not my fault, it's your fault. But they can't go ahead and just break it to open up the street. They would have to go to court, they would have to make sure, take some type of a higher road, but take the law in your own hands. You can't. So that actually contradicts both Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. So now the Gemara says, Amrav Sin Mishmei Derava, as the Gemara had a similar discussion in the previous daf. No. Ho adin afila shava. Actually, the halacha would be not only if they tripped on it and broke it, but even if they actually went and said, your jugs don't belong here, and they bracked and smashed it to get out of the way, that they would even there be exempt. And that would be, especially if it's, let's say, a case of Pseida, both according to Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda, because a person in such a case could be Avet Inish Dil Nafshei. Now, the Haidik Tani Niktels, why does the Mishnah say in the case of when they just tripped, say the bigger Chiddush, say even if you actively break it, you're going to be Pater? It's Aidi de Kaboyle Mishnah Sefer. It's only because he wanted to say the next halacha in the Mishnah of the Sefer, which talks about Imhuzik Bal Chavez, that if let's say imhuzak, if the guy who's walking gets actually injured from this guy's jug. So then we said, balchavis chayv beniskoy, that then the owner of the jug is going to be liable for the damages of the guy who was walking by. Now it's regarding that that we say the dafka nitkal. It's only if the guy who's walking by trips on it and gets injured from it. Avol shavar loy, but if he breaks it, then the owner of the jug is not going to be chayv for the damages of this guy. Because the huazik and avshay, you hurt yourself. Of course, my things are in the way and you're allowed to get it out of the way. You're allowed to break it, do whatever you want. But the fact that you injured yourself doing it, you're clumsy, you hurt yourself, and therefore I'm not going to be liable. So that halacha is only if it's nitkal, the guy tripped. Okay, so it's your negligence, the guy who owned the jug, you shouldn't have put it there. So katani reisha nitkal, so therefore also in regarding the first halacha of the Mishnah, we said nitkal, but actually the halacha would be even if shava, even if they went and broke it, because again, at least the way Rashi is learning this sugya, if it's a makom seder, everyone agrees, avir inish, dilan nafshe. So the Gemara says, Toshima, let's bring a raya from the following braisa. Pasuk in Devarim says, this is regards to the woman who is trying to stick up for her husband who's fighting with another man, and she goes to protect her husband, sticks her hand to the man's private parts as a way of getting him away from her husband. So the Pasuk says, v'katzei says kapa, you cut off her hand. Now, the braisa explains, doesn't mean you literally cut off her hand. Actually, it means mamon. It means that she has to pay the monetary value. She has to compensate the person that she humiliated by grabbing his private parts. Now, but one thing the Gemara says is, my love, wouldn't it be talking about that she couldn't protect her husband in any other way? In other words, it would be considered dina lenafshe. It would be the right thing to do halachically because she's trying to protect her husband. So what you see from this halacha is that a person can't take the law in their own hands. Again, the way Rashi is saying it, this is difficult on both Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda, because this is even a situation of loss, because her husband's getting beaten by this guy. So obviously that's considered a pseida. And she wants to stop this, because you can't go to court. All the while, he's going to be getting hit over the head by this other guy. So what is she supposed to do? What's a woman supposed to do? So she grabs him by mevushav, And that's because she's trying to do dina l'nafshei, b'makom seder, and yet you see that she's not allowed to do that. And from the fact that she did it, she gets punished. So that's difficult, both according to Rav Nachman and according to Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what it's talking about. Sheichei l'hatzla de davacher. It's not true. It's talking about a situation where she could have protected her husband in another way. She could have stopped this guy from hurting her husband, and yet she chooses a very humiliating type of way. And therefore, that's not of a dina l'nafshei, because it's not dina. It's not appropriate halacha. Halacha would not say she's allowed to do that, and that's why she's going to be chayiv. But if there was no other way, then of course everyone would agree, Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda, that a person could be avir inos nafshei, and she wouldn't get punished for having grabbed him there, because that was b'makom seder to protect her husband. However, the Gemara asks on this answer. So what are you saying? Avil eini yichay lahatla deda va'achar p'tura. But you're saying that if there is no other way to protect her husband, then actually she would be exempt from what she did to that man. Because that's of an initial deal nafshe b'makom seder. But ihachi, but if that's the case, sa'adatani safer. So then instead of the end of the braisa teaching, which is based on the pasuk before that, the pasuk says, v'shalcha yada, that if she stretches out her hand and grabs the man b'mavushav, then she's going to be chayiv. So it's her hand. Prat says the braisa, that excludes l'shlich bezin. When it's a messenger from the courts, there, he's going to be exempt for the humiliation that he does to somebody regarding enforcing the court's law. Because that's what the Bryce is learning from the Pasuk. Only when she does it, she takes the law in her own hands. But when the court's shliach, he's going to be exempt. So on that, the Gemara asks, but liflik v'lisni b'dida, but based on what we said before, why say that it's only the woman who's chayv, but a shliach bezin would be pater? You could actually differentiate in the woman herself. And say, when did we say that the woman herself is going to be chayiv for the humiliation of that man? That's because there was another way that she could have done it. So you didn't have rights to do that, and then you're going to be chayiv. But it should have said, but if there is no other way, then she herself is going to be exempt. Why go to another person, shliach bezin, say it even in the woman herself? Which is always more of a chiddush, especially if that's the context that you're discussing. She herself can be exempt when there's no other way. So the Gemara says, no, hachinamikama. This is exactly what the Braisa was saying. The Braisa was saying, when did we say she's going to be chayiv? When there's another way to save her husband, and she doesn't do that, so then she's going to be chayiv. But if there is no other way to do it, What the Braisa was saying was, Nasa Yada Kishliach Bezdin Batura. Her hand then becomes like a Shliach of Bezdin, which is because a person could be of it in the Shilnav Sheba Makab Seda, and Ubatura, and therefore she's going to be exempt. So when it says Vishalcha Yada Pratla Shliach Bezdin, her hand is then also like Shliach Bezdin, and actually that's why she's going to be exempt, because of it in the Shilnav Sheba Makab Seda. So the man says, Tashima, come in here, let's still try to bring a proof, as we have not conclusively brought a proof either way. From a Mishnah Bava Basar, the Mishnah says, "Harisha Haisa Derech HaRab Maiveres Patech Sedeyo." If somebody has a path that the public always used that runs straight through his field, now he didn't like it that the people walked right through his field. So what he did was Nitala. He went and he took over possession of that path. The Noslem Minatzat, and he gave them a path. He knows the public has to pass by, so he gave him a path on the side of his field. Says the Mishnah, "Masha Nosen Nosen." The path that he has given, he's given, meaning they have that path now too. V'shaloi lo higiyai. And yet his path that he wanted, he has not gotten, and that also remains the path. Now the public has two paths to use. That's the Mishnah Baba Basra. Says the Gemara, V'i amrit ovid in the navshei. If you say that a person could take the law in his own hands, well then linkud pizra, let him take a stick, v'lesev, and sit on the first path, which he's doing a din. Obviously, the laws are rights are with him because you said, Masha Nasan Nasan, you said the path that he's given, he's given. So obviously, it's an appropriate transfer because, or else, why would that have been given? So then, why can't he stand on the first path and say, you better not come here because now the public has a new path? Obviously, because he can't do that. He can't be of an Inz Dilnav Shay. He has no rights to go ahead and start doing these things. The courts have to do it. That contradicts for sure of Nachman. So the Gemara says, Amr Azmin Mishmeh Dirava says, no. You're right, a person could be of it in the Dinu Navshei, and technically you should be allowed to make the transfer, but Gezerah Shemayit Lehem Derech Akalosin. The thing is that we're concerned, and it's a rabbinic decree, to not let you do the transfer because you might give them a crooked path. You might give them something that's very challenging for the rabbi, and it's going to make it worse for them. And because of that, we say that you have no rights to take away their old path. That's why you don't get it. But if it was the din, then of course we would let you go ahead and do the transfer. Rav Masharshim, he actually says, no, it's benoyslam derech hakalos. It's actually talking about where he gives them a crooked path. That's where the halacha was said that it's not a din. You didn't give them an appropriate transfer, and that's why you can't go ahead and take back the original path. But if you gave a fair transfer, which was the din, of course you would be able to take the law in your own hands and stand there with a stick and stop people. Ravashi, I mean, he gives a third approach. He says, no, kol min atzad, any path on the side of the field, derech hakalosin hu, is by itself a crooked path. Why? Because it's going to be krevel azet. It's going to be closer to the people on the city that's on that side of the person's field. But v'rechek lazet, it's going to be far for those who are near to the other side of the field. Well, now they're going to have to go around the whole field to get to where the path is now on the side. Whereas when the path was in the middle of the field, they didn't have to go so far to get to the path. So automatically it's going to be crooked by default, either from the one on the one side or the one on the other side. And therefore, explains the Gemara, three different approaches to say that no, if it was Dina, you could take the Dina Lenafshe. But it's not Dina Lenafshe either because a Gzeira of a Kalosin, or it actually talking about a case of a Kalosin. Or like Rav Ash says, every case of switching the path is a Kalosin because now whoever was on one side is further for the other side. Now, the Gemara asks, I hachi. So if you're explaining that it's not an appropriate transfer, meaning it's not dina, and that's why you say you can't take back the first path, even though you wanted to give them another path, but then the question is, so amai shaloi lo higiyai? So then, which, as Taisus explains, which is not going on the shaloi, as we had mentioned in the words of the Mishnah Baba Basra, which it's really, as Taisus brings a girsa, masha nosa nosa namai. The question is, so okay, so you can't take their original path because you're going to be making a loss for them by moving it anywhere. But then why are you losing the new field? Lemelahu, let him tell the people, the rabbim, okay, shekrelu ditchu, take back your old path, but v'havali didi, give me back my new path. Why did the Mishnah Baba Basra say, haha, now you lost both ways. You don't get the original path, and now the new path you gave them, they have too. Why? If it's not a real transfer, so good, it's fine. So let me at least take back my new path. So that the Gemara says, no, Mishum Rav Yehuda. The Amr Rav Yehuda, like Rav Yehuda says, Meitzer Shechzigu by Rabim, regarding a strip on the boundary, which that's how the Rabim would pass by areas of fields, if the public already took possession of it, you can't ruin it. They already took possession of it. It's theirs. And therefore, since even if they take it on their own, but here when you gave it to them, for sure it's already theirs, so it's too late. Although you didn't get what you wanted, but now that you gave it to them, it's already theirs. And therefore, like the Mishnah Bava Basra says, you don't have the old one, and neither do you have the new one. So the Gemara says, Toshima, let's try to bring a raya from the following brisa. Regarding a homeowner, this halacha, one of the matnas anim, the gifts to the poor, is that a field owner has to leave over the corner of his field, one corner, for the poor people. So this homeowner did that. He left over the corner of the field on one side. Now the poor people, whether they knew or they didn't, they went and actually took a different corner as the payah, as their matnas anim, and they were taking all the fruits from that corner. Says the brisa, zevezeh payah. Now, you know what happens now? Both corners are halachically payah. So now he lost the original corner that he had set up and the new corner that the poor had taken from. Now that the Gemara asks, be'i amr abr inish dinil l'navshay. Now if you say a person can take the law in his own hands, amai zev zev payah, then why are you saying that both corners are halachically payah? Linkin pizr v'lay, so let him take a stick and stand. There's a get away from here. You guys have no rights to take two corners of my field. You have one corner. Now, from the fact that the Braith says that Zev Zev Pei, obviously it's because a person cannot take the law in his own hands, which is definitely difficult, according to Rav Nachman. So I'm a rabbi. Rabbi says, no, my Zev Zev Pei, what did the Braith mean when it says both corners are Pei, are the corner? It's Lefoitra Min HaMeiser. It's only to exempt the owner of that field from both corners of giving a tithe from those produce. Because Allah is, even the Pei that's left over, that the poor don't take, is considered Hefker. So even though, yes, he could take dinyan nafshei, and he could stop them, and he will stop them, and they're only going to get one corner, not the other corner, which is the corner that he had set, because they ended up taking from a different corner. It's what it's saying when we call it payah, is to say, just like payah is exempt from meiser, so too this corner that I had set aside for payah, although they're not going to be able to take it at the end, because they took a different corner, it's still going to be exempt from giving tithes to the town, like we learned in Braisa. Braisa says, a mafker is kamar. Someone declares his whole vineyard ownerless. Says whoever wants. Now, v'hishkin b'beiku b'tzar, but in the morning he goes and then he plucks all the grapes for himself. So he ends up harvesting it. So says the brisa, chayiv. So he's liable for all the real matnas in the name of beperet or be'oilis or b'shikchu b'peya, the bundles that are left over, the corners of the field. Now the chiddush in this is although generally hefker is exempt from payah, as the Mishnah teaches in the beginning of Masechta's payah, that whatever is a food item that's protected is chayiv and meiser and payah. Whereas here, where he was mafkrit, so therefore essentially he should be exempt from payah. Why is the Brei saying he's chayiv? In this case, he's going to be chayiv even though he was mafkrit, because as the Gemara explains later on, Perek HaGayz, Lev Tzadik Dalam and Aleph, says an extra word tazlev to say that even the case where you were mafkrit, if you end up harvesting it, then you're going to be chayiv in halacha of payah. But says the Brai, so upatim min maisa. Upatim min maisa is exempt from the maiser, and the reason why maiser is different than all the other gifts of the poor is because it doesn't say an extra word tazav over there. So since you were mafgrid, and hefgrid is patim from maiser, so one thing that we see is that any, even a little type of hefgrid, is going to be excluding it from maiser. Now that's going to be the same thing regarding when you make your corner of your field peya. Because the Mishnah teaches over there, kol shu oichel v'nishmer is chayv b'maisa. Whatever is a food item and it's safeguarded is chayv b'maisa, the moment that you make it hefker, which is what happens when you make it payah, which all the poor could go ahead and take it. So at that moment that you made it payah, it was already putter from maisa. Now, though, at the end, you will end up taking it because they took a different corner, but zev zev payah means to say each one of those corners are going to be exempt from meiser, but it doesn't mean that you can't take it, because you could say, like Rav Nachman, that of it in the dil nafshei, you obviously could take the law in your own hands, you could take a stick and stop them from taking your produce, and therefore the Gemara has not conclusively proven, like either one of those halachas of Rav Yehuda or Rav Nachman, if a person can be of it in the dil nafshei, but makom delekab seida, when there would be no loss to go to court. And just, you don't want to go through the tircha of going to court. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, opening up of our perek, regarding damages of a person and his items in the Rishus HaRav, in the public domain. So the Mishnah says, Nishbar kadeh b'Rishus HaRav. If someone's jug breaks in the public domain, now, v'hochlik echad b'mayin, now, so now his jug broke, the water spilled on the floor, and somebody slips on the water, oishalokah b'charsis, or he gets hurt from the shards of the broken vessel, chayiv, so the owner of the jug is going to be liable for those damages. Rabbi Huda, he says, b'miskaven chayiv, when the owner of the jug did it with intent, he's going to be liable. B'ein miskaven pata, but when he didn't do it with intent, which Gemara is going to explain what this means, then pata, then he's going to be exempt from the damages of the person who got harmed or his items from his jug and his water that spilled off of it. Now the Gemara explains the halacha of a Mishnah. Amar Bihuda Marav says, Loi Shana, we didn't learn that the owner of the jug is going to be liable for the damages that happened because of his broken jug. Elisha tinfu kalev b'mayim. Only if the kalem, the utensils, the garments of the nizik, of the one who got harmed, that they got ruined in the water. Now the reason for this, of Rav's interpretation of the halacha of a Mishnah, is because he explains the halacha of the Mishnah when the owner of the jug, which the jug had water inside of it, was not mafker his water. He didn't declare it ownless when it spilled out. In other words, he still was holding on, to retaining the ownership rights of the water. Who knows? He schlepped the water from the well. It took who knows how far it was. Anyway, he wants to hold on to the water that spilled out in the street. So it turns out that the guy who gets injured, gets damaged from this guy's water, is getting injured from this guy's, from the owner of the jug's money. He still owns it. He wasn't mafkrit. So essentially, it's like his shar. Meaning, when we say shar, we mean to say like something that you own that damages something else. This guy's water that spilled out is like his shar, is like his mamon, because he wasn't mafkrit. So that's where we say the halacha of the Mishnah, that you're going to be liable for someone else that his clothing got ruined in the water. However, as we continue, Talmud Beis says, Rav, avalhu atzmoi. But if the guy himself got harmed, I mean the guy was walking by in the street and he fell on the water and he got hurt, then potter. Then actually the owner of the jug, who's the owner of the water, will be exempt. The reason for that is because karka oilam, the earth of the public domain, which has no owners, is hizikasai, is what ended up injuring that guy. Now, although the owner of the jug, his water played a role in it, because that's what made him slip and then hit himself on the ground, but ultimately that money of his, which is his water, is only a grama. It just was a cause. It was a trigger, but it wasn't something that actually caused the damage itself. And therefore we know grama b'nizak in this potter. You're exempt from damages when it was just a grama. Now moreover, Rashi points out that Rav's going according to his opinion mentioned elsewhere, that he says later on, Dav Nun Mabez, that although then the ground should be the owner of the jugs. It should be his pit, because he created, just like when you dig a pit, you created, you don't own it, but the Torah considers as if you own it because you caused that takala, which injures other things. So you're also, by putting water over there, essentially you have made a burr with your water that then causes damage when the guy hits himself on the ground. Rav's opinion is that the liability of bar that's written in the Torah is only what's called lahavloi v'loi lechavatai. Meaning to say, what injures the person is not actually the clop, the bang that he gets when he hits the bottom of the pit. Actually, for that, you're not liable. It's only the airspace, the falling in, that air is what injures the person. So therefore, here where there's no hevel, there's no air, it's just the ground itself, he didn't dig into the ground, Rav holds that you can't have any liability for the halacha of bar. And therefore, what ended up injuring the guy was the ground, and that's not my ground. I didn't make a bar over there, it's just my water. My water just was a grama, and therefore I'm going to be exempt for injuring the guy. The liability that the Mishnah talks about when this guy slips on the water is that his shirt, again, he falls and his jacket and his shirt all get ruined in the water. That, okay, it's my shir shahizik, it's my mammon, it's my water, I wasn't mafgrid, and that's why I'm going to be liable for his kalem. Now, Tyson points out, why couldn't Rav have said that the person himself got injured in the water, and therefore, yeah, not for the ground, but the water itself, and therefore you could be liable for the body of the person himself. On that, Tyson says, from the wording of the Mishnah, it sounds like that the person himself slipped on the water, but he didn't get injured in the water. And therefore, Rav interpreted that as the guy's garments, they got ruined in the water, but the guy himself, for sure, you wouldn't be liable, according to Rav, by hitting himself on the ground, because Rav holds that there is no halacha of bur for chavata, it's only for havale. And therefore, the interpretation he has to give is when you weren't mafka the water, and the liability is on the guy's garment. So again, according to Rav, you're chayv on his kalim and not on his guf. Now, that, the Gemara says, Ki amrita kamei de Shmuel, Rabbi Huda, who said this over the name of Rav, says that when I said this halacha over in front of Shmuel, Amali said to me, Mechti, let's see. Avnai v'sakinu umasai. When a person has his stone, his knife, or his package, meaning which is laying there in the street, which is a takala, it's something, it's a stumbling block, it could injure someone in the street. Says Shmuel, mi bayru lamanu, we learn out the liability that if somebody gets injured in that in the street, from the lach of bar, as the Gemara teaches in the first paragraph of Vav Medalf, where essentially it has the same characteristic as a bar. You didn't dig it, but you put it there, but it's something that doesn't move and people get injured, and therefore, that's why you're liable in Avnei Sakinu Masai. Now, says Shmuel, so regarding these things, which we're talking about, that you put your jug here in the street, which is essentially the same thing as Avnei Sakinu Masai. Now, v'kulan ani karibahen, so regarding all these things that you make a stumbling block in the public domain, which is just like bar, so I say, just like by bar, what's the halacha by a bar? It's shor v'loy adam chamar v'loy kelim. The pasuk says that if an ox or a donkey is going to fall into the pit, you're going to be liable. Which the Gemara darshens elsewhere, that it says, an ox you're liable for, but not a person. It says a donkey, but not for kelim, not for vessels. Now, says Shmuel, he qualifies that. He says, now, v'hani mil in ketala, but this exemption of liability for a person or for vessels was only said regarding death. Meaning, when the person dies, that's when you're going to be exempt. Because the pasuk there is talking about death. Because it says, v'hamesi yaloi, if the ox falls in, or if the donkey falls in, and then you have to pay for the damages. So it says, v'hamesi yaloi, okay, it says regarding what do you do with the dead animal carcass. So the pasuk there is talking about death, and that's where it's excluding for the death of a person. Aval in nizakin, but regarding if it's just damages, then adam, then regarding if a person gets damaged in the bar, then actually chayiv. Then the owner of the pit is going to be liable because all the pasuk is exempting the owner of the pit from is from kafer, which is when the person dies. But if he just gets injured, then the owner of the pit is liable. Vekalim, and regarding the damage done to vessels, are actually peturim. The owner of the pit will still be exempt for the breaking, because as Rashi says, shvirasin zuhi misasin. The breaking of a vessel is really like the death of, it's what it totally demolishes, just like a person dies. There's no halfway point like just nezek, in contrast to a person. So therefore, the halacha by a bar is that although it says that it excludes Adam and Kalim, but there's a difference between Adam and Kalim, because regarding the death of both of them, yet you're exempt. But there is a difference by Adam that there's a middle step of Hezek where then you would be Chayiv. But by Keli, the Hezek is its death, so therefore you would always be exempt. Now, so therefore, said Shmuel to Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah too, his water, this guy's water that spilled that on the ground, is his bar. It's just like Avnei Sakinu Masai. You're creating a takala, a stumbling block for people in the street. So therefore, says Shmuel, that when the Mishnah says he's going to be Chayiv, is exactly the opposite of what Rav told you. When the guy himself gets injured, then you're going to be chayiv, as we said, for Hezeki Adam in the bar Yuchayiv, but not for his kalim. Actually, his garments, his shirt, his suit, his tie that gets ruined, you're actually going to be exempt, because it says, by chamor v'loy kalim. And as we said, that's even including the hezek, because the hezek of a garment, of a kli, is its death. So actually, Shmuel says the exact opposite of Rav regarding what is the liability of the halacha of a Mishnah. Which again, they're also classifying as different. Rav's classifying it as shur, it's your mammon. And both of them are discussing that the Mishnah is talking about that you weren't mafkrit, whereas Taisa says, because if you were mafkrit, you wouldn't be liable not for Kalim, not for the guy himself. So you weren't mafkrit. So Rav is qualifying the water as a person's shur. And therefore, according to Lishri Tassai, the ground you cannot be liable for the person himself. So it's the garments that get ruined in the water. So it's actually on the kalim of that guy that you chayv, but your putter on his guf. And where Shmuel is classifying it as bayer, and therefore the halacha by bayer is that you're going to be chayv for the hezek only of that person actually, but not of the person's kalim, because you're exempt for kalim. Now, but for Rav, he would tell you, no. Hanemili, when did we say that these takalas of Avnei Sakinu Masai, and so too, let's say, the case of our Mishnah of the water, that we learned it off in Bar, that says Rav, that's Heichadav Kirinu, that's only if you say, okay, this stone or this knife or this package, I don't want it anymore, I'm mafkrit. Then it would be just like Bar. Now the reason for that is because Rav's opinion is that the liability for Bar that the Torah is mechayev you, is both that you are mafkir, you're a shus, and the Bar That's when the Torah is mechayev you, when everything is ownerless. Now, aval hecha deloy afkarino, but if you weren't mafkrit, as they were learning up the halacha of the Mishnah, that this water was not declared ownerless, then mamaynehu, then it's actually the person's money. And therefore, it's not the halacha of bar, because the bar is only something that was hefker. You're still owning the water. So then we actually learn that from shar. So therefore, as we said before, therefore ruining the guy's garments, it's your mammon, it's your like your shar that was mazik something else, so therefore you're going to be liable. But as we said, but regarding the damaging, if the guy's body, if he gets hurt when he slips in the water and hurts himself on the ground, it's the ground that's doing it. And as we said for Rav, he can't consider the ground as the bar because he holds on lahavloi v'loy lechavate. Where Shmuel holds that no, the halacha of bar was said even when you're mafkir your property, but you weren't mafkir the bar itself. That's what the pasuk is also talking about over there. So you could still own the bar and yet be chayiv. Now, and still, the Torah says you're going to be exempt from the damages done to Caleb. So therefore, Shmuel holds, the halacha of our Mishnah is that even though you weren't mafkir the water, it's still going to be your bar. And therefore, this that the Mishnah says you're going to be chayiv is talking about as a bar for the damages of that person's body, because you're chayiv for the mazikin of a bar for a person's body, and not for the utensils, because as we said, by Kalim, you're actually exempt. Now, although ultimately, which Rav had pointed out, it's karka oilim, it's the public domain that ends up injuring the guy, still, Shmuel holds you're going to be chayiv, because again, Shmuel l'shitasai holds, not like Rav, later on Daf Nun Mebeis, that the liability of the bar that the Torah writes about is lahavloi v'kol shekin l'chavatei. It's not just for the ear that you're falling into the pit which causes the damage, but it's the bang at the end, the chavet, that also causes the damage. And therefore, even though it's karka olam, even though it's just ground, but since you caused, you made the area of the water like your pit, and that includes the ground of the pit too, so the ground that the guy falls on is considered part of your bar, and therefore you're going to actually be potter from kalim as the halach is by bar, but chayiv on the person himself. So again, that's the machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Do we classify it as and this are at least two lishitasims regarding how do you qualify bar regarding havloi and not chavatoi or chavatoi too, and also regarding the halach of bar is that only if you mafker the rishus and the bar, or as Shmuel says, is it even if you mafker the rishus and not the bar itself? So at least two lishitasim of Rav and Shmuel, and therefore their differentiation in how do you classify this halacha of the Baal HaKad being chayiv on this water damaging, is it the person and not as kalim, or is it actually no, the kalim and not the person, depend if you're saying it's shar or you say that it's bar. So the Gemara says, Maser Rav Yishu. Rav Yishu actually asked on both Rav and Shmuel's interpretation from the following braisa. Pasuk in Shemai says, V'nafo shama shor achamar. It talks about a pit. If someone makes a pit in a shus Rav, and then an ox or a donkey falls in, he has to pay for the damages. Says the braisa, which we quoted just before, shor v'li adam, and says, Yuchai, for an ox falling in, that's coming to exclude a person. Chamar v'li kelim, and says, a donkey, it's coming to exclude regarding vessels. Now, Mekan Amru, says the braisa, from here we say, so let's say an ox falls in with the vessels on top of it, and now they break. Or or a donkey falls in with its vessels, and it tears, where the differentiation of the terms breaking and tearing is because the kalim of a shar makes more sense to use the term breaking, which would be like the yoke of the ox, and regarding the donkey, which the saddle cloth is something of a cloth, which makes more sense to use the terminology tearing. But either way, when you have this one of these two animals falling in and the kalim getting ruined too, chayv al behema, so you'll be liable for the animal, upata al kalim, and you'll be exempt for the kalim. Says the Braisa, moreover, halamaza daima, what could this be compared to? La'avnoi v'sakino u'masai shenichim b'shus ram v'zikah. It can be compared to a person's stone or his knife or his package, which if he puts in the rishus ram, and it's mazik, that just like there you chayv so too over here, which the Gemara jumps in and asks, adarabba, to the contrary. The Bryce is making it sound like it's making what was written in the Torah, comparing it to learn that out from something that's not written in the Torah. Ma doyma lezeh mibayle, should have said the other way. And what is comparable to this halacha? Oh, it would be avnei sakin masai, because that's not written in the Torah. So the Gemara says, Eli, you're right. What the Bryce should say is, my doyma lezeh, and what could be compared to this halacha that we just described? So when a person puts his stone or his knife or his package in the Rishus HaRabim and it damages, where if let's say Kalim get broken on these things, Or if a person trips in it and dies, then the owner of that Avnes HaKidna Masai is going to be exempt, just like the halacha would be by Bar, which we say it's Shor V'loy Adam Chamor V'loy Kelim. So it continues the Braisa. Lafikach, therefore, Emetiach Tzluchisei Be'Evan. If let's say somebody's walking and then his flask breaks on the stone, so Chai, the owner of the stone, is going to be liable for the damages of that flask. That's what the Braisa says. So says Rav Ishiya, Reisha, the beginning of the Braisa that said that Avnes HaKidna Masai are compared to Allah of Bar, is Kasha L'Rav. Well, that's difficult to Rav, because the Gemara's assumption right now is that even if the person was not mafker this thing that he has in Rishas HaRav, it's still going to be compared to Bar. Well, that's not like Rav. Rav said that it's only if you're mafker that it's Bar. If you weren't mafker, then it's going to be considered Shar or something else. Yet here it seemingly says, anytime you put your knife or your load in the public domain, it's considered Bar, which is like Shmuel, not like Rav. And Vesefa continued Rav Ishiya, the end of the Braisa, which says that if a guy is walking, then his flask, which is his keli, breaks on this guy's stone, that the owner of the stone is going to be Chayiv, well, that's Kash L'Shmuel. Well, that's difficult according to Shmuel, because now it sounds like that when you have Ya'avne Sekinim Asai, Bershus Rabim, that it's actually from Shur and not from Bar, which is not like Shmuel, because Shmuel said that any Rishus Rabim, where the Rishus is Hefker, and then you have your object in that thing, even if you weren't Mafker, he says it's Bar. If it was Bar, then why would you be Chai if someone has his flask break on it? It's a Keli. And Bar is not Chai for Kalim. Obviously, it's like Shur, which is like Rav. So it's difficult on both Rav and Shmuel. Now, the Gemara responds to Rav Ishiya's question, Ulatamech, according to your reasoning, Tikshila Chigufa, what do you mean? Then you have, it's an internal paradox regarding the interpretation of the Braisa. Reisha Pata B'Seva Chayv, how do you understand the Braisa itself? Why are you asking Rav and Shmuel? The Reisha sounds like that whatever you classify this Avnes HaKidna Masai, it's going to be exempt for Kalim. And the Seva makes it sound like it's going to be Chayv. So Eli Rav, the Gemara says, not difficult. Rav Matarz L'Tameh. Rav will answer according to his opinion. Shmuel Matarz L'Tameh. Shmuel will answer according to his opinion, as the Gemara explains. Rav Matarz L'Tameh. Rav answered according to his opinion. That the Braisa was saying, B'med devar mamum, when did we say, regarding that we're comparing in halacha, a person's stone and his knife and his package that's similar to bar, that's kishef kiron, that's when you declare it ownerless. That Rav agrees if it's in the Rishus that's Hefker, which is Rishus Rav, and you have the item that's Hefker, well, that's just like Bar. But that's where the Braisa continues and says, Avoloyev Kirin Chayev. But if you weren't Mafkrit, then you would be Chayev on a person's Kalim, because it's not Bar, it's actually Shar. And that's why the Braisa concludes to say, Lefika Chitiach Tzluchusa Be'Evan. Therefore, if a person's walking and this flask breaks on the stone, which you were not Mafkir, then you're going to be Chayev, because it's not Bar, it's actually Shar. That's how Rav would interpret it. Shmuel Metaris L'Tameh, Shmuel would answer the Braisa according to his opinion. Hashta di Amrit Avni Sekinim Asai Kibari Dami, meaning that what Shmuel learns, even if he weren't Mafgrit, L'Lishitasai, which is now that you say you compare a person's load to a pit and it has the same halachas. So the Braisa continues, it says, so therefore, L'Rebbe Yehuda, so according to Rebbe Yehuda, the Machayev Aniske Kelim Babar, that he holds that there is a liability for vessels in a pit, which the Gemara explains later on, Perek Shor Shenogeg HaSapara, that from the Gimel Beis, how he darshens the Pesukim. But he says you actually are liable for Kelim Babar. That's what the Braisa concludes to say, Lefika Chitich Tzuchusa Be'Evan Chayev. That's why if the person's flask breaks on the stone, that even though it's a bar, you're still going to be Chayev and Kelim, meaning according to Rebbe Yehuda. But it's not a difficulty, it is. Even if you're not Mafgrit, compared to bar, and still you're going to be Chayv on Kalim because it's going like Rabbi Huda. Now, the Gemara just clarifies that one of the halachas in this Braisa, Amr Balaza, he says, Loi shono, we didn't learn this halacha that we just ended off with, by saying that if the guy's walking and his flask breaks on the stone, that the owner of the stone is going to be Chayv. It's Ela shenitkel be'evan v'nish, it's only if the person who's walking, he trips on the stone, and v'nishif, and then the keli itself breaks be'evan on the stone. That's when the owner of the stone is going to be chayv. Avon nitkal bakarka. But if let's say the person who's walking trips on the ground, nothing to do with the stone. Venisha be'evan, and then he falls, and then the flask breaks on this person's stone who left it during the Rishus HaRav. Pater, the owner of the stone is going to be exempt. The reason being is because it's the ground that caused the damage. You tripped on the ground, not on my stone. You just happened to land on my rock. I didn't cause the damage, and therefore, actually, the owner of the rock in that situation, says Rabbi Elazar, would be exempt. So says the Gemara, come on, who is this halacha of Rabbi Elazar like? It's like Reb Nosson, not like Reb Nosson, who he says later on, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, regarding a case when an ox pushes another ox into a pit. So Reb Nosson says that where you can't collect enough, let's say it's a shor tam, and you could only get megufay of the shor hamazik, you wouldn't be able to collect your what's the requisite amount of damages from the ox that pushed the, who is the one that caused the damage by pushing the ox into the pit. He says, Reb Nosson, that you could collect the rest of the damages from the owner of the pit. Why? Because he tells him, ultimately the damage was done by you. So although you didn't cause it, says Reb Nosson, the rest could be collected from the owner of the pit. So therefore, obviously Reb Elazar's qualification of the halacha of the Brice is not like Reb Nosson. Because ultimately the guy's jug broke on the stone. That would be just like the ox falling into the pit. Who, although the pit owner didn't cause the damage, but it was done in his pit, so too the same thing Reb Nosson would hold, where it breaks on the rock, even though it didn't cause it, but ultimately it broke in that, and he would hold that Yechayv. Reb Elazar says that Yepater obviously says not like Reb Nosson. Now, Ikudami, that those have a different version that say Omer Belazar, that he says the other way around. He says, no, Loitame benitkal be'evin v'nisha be'evin hudimachayev. Don't say that the liability of this halacha, the Brice, is only when the guy trips on the stone and then breaks his flask on the stone, that then you're going to be chayev. Aval nitkal be'karka v'nisha be'evin pata. But you would say that if the guy trips on the ground and then it breaks the flask on the stone, that then he'll be pater because the owner of the stone didn't cause it. Says Reb Elazar, don't say that. But even if he trips on the ground, and what caused him was the ground, and then but it breaks on the stone, then the owner of the stone is going to be chayiv. On this second version, says the Gemara, come on, that's Reb Nosson. That's Reb Nosson who holds that even though the owner of the pit didn't cause the damage itself, he still has the liability by the virtue of the damage happening through his mazik, which although it didn't cause it, but ultimately the damage happened through his pit. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he disagreed with the Tanna Kamma. He said that the liability of the owner of the jug that broke is only be miskaven chayv. Only if it happened with intent, then he's going to be liable for the damages of the other person. But v'chulu, but if he didn't have intent, then he's going to be exempt. So the Gemara says, heichad miskaven, well, how do we understand what he's trying to qualify and saying he's only liable if it was with intent? So Amar Rabba, Rabba comes to explain and he says, b'miskaven lohirida lamate miksefer. The case is talking about where the guy was carrying a jug in the public domain and he, with intent, he had to take it down from on top of his shoulder. He wanted to take it down. Now, however, something happened. He slipped and instead it broke against the wall and now it's shattered. It's all over the street. So says Rabba, that's what Jim Huda was saying, that it's regarding such an intent that he had to take it down, where he was clumsy, he was negligent, then he's going to be chayif. And the reason being is because Rabbi Yehuda holds that a nitkal is pesheya, someone that's walking and then he trips, he's clumsy, then you're negligent, you should have been more careful. And that's why you're going to be liable for the damages of other people. But if let's say it just happened by itself, where nothing to do with I tripped, it just shattered, then Rabbi Yehuda holds that the owner of the jug is not going to be liable. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, I'm going to Abaye. Abaye asks on Rabbi's interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda. Says Machlal, so the inference is, the Mechayev Remeir, that Remeir, who he's the Tanna Kamma, that he obviously is more stringent because he holds that the Chiyuv is even not what Rabbi Yehuda is classifying as Miskaven, but even Loi Miskaven. He doesn't differentiate. He says the owner of the jug is always going to be Chayev. So the way you're interpreting says Abaye to Rabbah, that what's intent and therefore what's not intent. Intent is when you meant to take it down, meaning you trip. Not intent is Afil Nifshira, meaning even if it just the jug just blows up, it just dissolves by itself when it's on his shoulder and it just blows up and it just shatters. Now, and therefore you would be saying Rameh would hold that even in what you're calling his Einim Eskabim would be Chayev. Now, the thing is, that would be a case of Einis. It was beyond the person's control. That was something that happened totally unwilling to the person. So, seemingly you're saying Rameh would hold that even in such a case would be Chayev. So, Amalei, so Rabbah says Tabaya, and yes, Remeyu holds that the owner of the jug is going to be liable, is even if he's left holding the handle of the jug in his hand, meaning even if it just shattered on its own, where it didn't fall out of his hands, it just burst. And he's still holding it. It's like, what just happened? And the whole shards, everything, the water is all over the floor. Now, ask Abai to Rabba, am I, but why? Why would Remeyu hold that you're chayim in such a situation? But anasu, it's something beyond the person's control. It's an einus. And we know in halacha va'inus rachmana patre, the Torah exempts you when it's something beyond your ability. Like it says the pasuk in Devarim, the pasuk there is talking about when a man rapes a woman. It says v'lanaro loy sasa davar. Now for the woman, you don't do anything, you don't punish her, as the pasuk there says in Devarim Chav Beis pasuk Chavav, Ein la nara chet mavis. The girl doesn't have any sin of death. Ki kasher yakum ishal re'ei ritzacha. Just like someone murdering ritzacha nefesh, just like someone murdering someone else. Ken adav razeh. Here also, meaning this guy was the assailant, this guy was the attacker. What do you want from her? She didn't do it willingly, and therefore, as this is the paradigm of the halacha, which is when it's an einus, when someone was coerced, then there's no liability. So therefore, asks Abaye to Rabbah, how can you say, Remei, or hold it, you have in such a situation? Now Tosafot points out, although we did say that from Petza Tachas Patza, that we make a person Adamud La'olam, you're always liable for damages that happen through you, whether it's Shagi Keratzin or einus, it doesn't make a difference if it was even by einus. So that Tosafot explained in the Chav Zayin Mabeis that that does not include what Tosafot calls einus gamer. Einus means to say, yeah, of course it wasn't negligence or something that it couldn't happen, but we're talking about einus gamer, there's nothing I could have done. It just shattered. That you're even exempt from the halacha. That's not included in Petza Tachas Patza. So therefore, ask Abaye to Rabbah, how can you say that that's what Rabbi Huda means, which that would then make Remeir meaning that you'd be chayv on einus gamer, and that we know from the Torah that you're always exempt. Now, continues Abaye. Now, and if you're going to say Hanamilin Katala, that when did we say, which is the from this paradigm, the prototype from the woman who gets violated, that that's only regarding being exempted by an einus regarding the death penalty, which that's the halacha by Rayas regarding chiv misa, but maybe you would tell me but an einus gomer even. You tell me when it comes to damages, other mu'ud la'ilam, you're going to be liable even when it's a total einus. That Abaye says you can't say that, because I'll prove to you that Remeir does not hold that by einus gomer you're going to be chayiv. Because what time the Brisa as follows. The Brisa says, nishbur kadeh v'loy salakai. Let's say somebody's jug breaks and he doesn't pick it up. Or nafal gamli v'lohemida, or a person's camel falls down, he doesn't pick it up, now it's just sitting there, which obviously people are going to trip on it, it's going to cause damages. So Remeir mechayiv bezek, and Remeir says you're liable for the damages, you should get these stuff out of the way. However, the sages say, as we continue to talk about Chavtesim and Aleph, you're put to medini adam, you're exempt from the law of the court, which the Gemara later on is going to explain the reason for that. But v'chayiv b'din neshamayim, yes, by the hands, by the law of heaven, since you didn't take your things out of the street, and then it could harm people, so b'din neshamayim, you're going to be chayiv, but b'din adam, you're exempt. Now, however, the Brisa continues and says, each one agrees to the other one on some level. U'moidim chacham l'remeir, the chacham agreed to remeir that you would be liable in the case, regarding a person's stone or knife or load, let's say put on top of his roof. Now, a regular common wind, the wind that should be expected at least, comes and blows it off, and then the knife falls and damages something as it falls down. The Chacham would agree, in such a situation, they would hold that you are chayiv, because that's considered pashaya, that's negligence. Whereas when the camel falls down and then people are tripping it, that, as the Gemara will later on explain, is not considered peshe, is not negligent, and therefore they hold bedini adam, then you would be pater. Now, the other way too, moidir remeir rabbanan, this is the important one that Abaye wants from this, and remeir would agree to rabbanan in the case that you would be pater, but malakan kanan ala gag amanas l'nagvan. If a person puts jugs on the roof to dry them out, v'nafle beruach she'enu mitzuya behezikoi. Now, it falls with an uncommon wind, not to be expected, and it causes damage. Shehu pater, that the owner of the jugs are going to be pater. Why? Because it's an einus. So ultimately, the Abaye says, you can't say like Rabbah, that which would come out, the way he interprets Rabbi Huda, that miskaven means to say that when you're nitkal, and that's a pesheya, and ein miskaven would mean to say that it's an einus, because that would then mean that Tanakama, who is Remei, will hold that you're chayiv even by an einus, and we see clearly the Remei agrees that by einus, by nizakin, that you're going to be pater, and therefore they cannot be the interpretation of what Rabbi Huda's halacha is in the Mishnah when he qualifies in his disagreement with Remei, but miskaven chayiv, and ein miskaven is pater.